On Tuesday's front page, President Obama signaled a harder line on debt reduction. He threatened to veto any long-term plan that shaved Medicare benefits unless it also raised taxes on wealthy people. We'll look at why the new prize in the global energy market is oil in South America, and gossip in small towns is moving to the internet and turning vicious. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says President Obama announced the details of his long-term deficit reduction package. This comes as he's moving into a new, more combative phase. He was clear in saying there would be no cuts in Medicare without higher taxes for wealthy people. He backed that up with the threat of a veto. That suggests he's all but given up on finding common ground with Republicans. Times White House correspondent Mark Landler has more.
He's portraying this as a simple question of math. You need to make these changes to the tax code in order to arrive at this larger number. And it sets up a showdown with Republicans in the House who've said they'll oppose anything that resembles a tax increase.
And I will veto any bill that changes benefits for those who rely on Medicare but does not raise serious revenues by asking the wealthiest Americans or biggest corporations to pay their fair share.
He seems ready for this battle and less interested in compromise than he was during the summer. Republicans have been quick to portray the president's plan as a form of class warfare, something he rejects. But we can see battle lines being set, and really it's a battle that's likely to carry all the way into the 2012 election, as President Obama presents one vision for the role of government in society, and Republicans present a radically different one.
Times reporter Mark Landler. Also on Tuesday's front page, some economists are beginning to wonder whether letting Greece default would be no worse than the path it's now on. Influential economist Nouriel Roubini said Greece should leave the eurozone and begin an orderly default. That could lead to a run on Greece's banks and rampant inflation. Worries about Greece rattled Wall Street on Monday. The Dow Jones Industrials lost 108 points, closing at just over 11,401. Oil companies are focusing on the Western Hemisphere. Venezuela is now believed to have bigger oil reserves than Saudi Arabia, even though Venezuela's nationalism has kept it out of the boom. That's not the case in Brazil. It's building nuclear submarines to protect its offshore oil. Colombia's oil production is climbing so fast that before long, it could match pre-war levels in Libya. ExxonMobil is striking new deals in Argentina. It recently announced its biggest oil discovery since the 1980s. Rural America lagged behind the rest of the country in taking up the internet. Now social media are complicating small-town life. Websites created to give people a place where they can talk about local news and politics are also hubs for unsubstantiated gossip. That's stirring resentment in communities where the kind of anonymity that exists on the web is something of a novel concept. New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg likes to keep his private life private, but photos from inside his townhouses are out there in plain sight on the website of his longtime decorator, Jamie Drake. The mayor has a lot of imported art and expensive English Regency antiques. One Chippendale couch is worth $1 million. It's beneath an 18th century portrait that's probably in the $450,000 range. Inside Tuesday's Times, details on a second day of fighting in the capital of Yemen. Reporter Laura Kasanoff tells us 28 people were killed.
The reason why there hasn't been a lot of violence against protesters for all of these months, while they have been on the streets, is because they only stayed within their sit-in area. And as soon as they left the protected sit-in area that is guarded by defected soldiers, they came under attack from snipers, they came under attack by security forces who opened fire on them, at least some of whom were using high-caliber machine guns and heavy weaponry. The interesting thing about the conflict is that it came at a time when there were negotiations going on between leaders from the opposition and leaders from the ruling party to possibly sign a transfer of power deal. And what there's speculation about is that perhaps the violence was intentional to derail that political agreement.
Reporter Laura Kasanoff in Yemen. China shut down a factory that makes solar panels amid protests by residents who say it's a hotspot for pollution. The demonstrators ransacked offices at the plant in Zhejiang province. At least 23 people were detained, including a man accused of spreading false information about the impact of the pollution. Villagers had complained about smokestack emissions, as well as factory wastewater that they say has killed large numbers of fish. Moscow's ousted mayor is criticizing Russia's political system. Yuri Lushkov used to be a political insider. Now he says politics in Russia is a charade. He singled out United Russia as an adjunct of the Kremlin. United Russia is the party led by Prime Minister Vladimir Putin. Lushkov also said he's worried his billionaire wife would be prosecuted if she returned to Russia from Western Europe, where she now lives. With the economy faltering, Tuesday's Business Day section says some workers could be facing layoffs all over again. Anxieties about job security are rising, in part because the last hired are often the first back out on the street. That could mean the people at highest risk are the ones who've already depleted their support networks and unemployment benefits. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. You can send your comments about the Front Page Podcast to podcasts@nytimes.com. That's podcasts with an S on the end at nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.